Oh, welcome to the meeting tonight, and I do trust you can hear me clearly. Just also welcome Simon Richardson, the Division Roads Manager, I'm sure you know, and Cindy Noble, Section Engineer, and also Stephen Duffy, Section Engineer. So just first of all, I need to read out the general statement. Members of the public should remain seated throughout the meeting and should not speak. Everyone should ensure that their mobile telephones are either turned off or switched to silent. The use of mobile devices for recording is not permitted. The proceedings of the meeting will be audio recorded except where the Council is considering any exempt matters. The recording equipment is linked to the microphone system, so please ensure your microphone is switched on before speaking. And could I just say that if you have any supplementary questions, don't be turning your microphone off until you finish, because you'll not be recorded then. So until you're satisfied, just keep your red light on. Members are reminded that they are personally responsible for any comments they make at the meeting. I remind councillors of their obligations under the Councillor's Code of Conduct to declare any financial or significant non-financial interests which they have in any item of business before the meeting this evening. If you have such an interest, please either declare that now or immediately before the item itself, stating the item of business it relates to. Having declared an interest, members should leave the table for the duration of a discussion on that item and should not take part in the vote. Any apologies? I have some apologies here. First of all, from Councillors Burns, Casey, Devlin, Fitzpatrick, Highland, Kimmins and Brown. Any others?
Councillor Naomi Bailey.
Naomi Bailey.
Michael Carr.
Okay. Declan McAteer. Right, that's fine. That's grand. Any declaration of interest? Okay, well, just proceed now to the Transport NI team and just ask Simon if you would just commence your presentation for this evening. And could I just say, at this stage, what I'm hoping to do, once Simon has completed his presentation, first of all, I'm just going to ask for any general questions, questions about budget or strategic roadworks. And then, once those general questions are dealt with, and all councillors are free to ask those, then we'll come on to the specific DEA questions, where each DEA will be taken in turn. So councillors from that DEA can take ask their own questions, but first of all, be general questions. So we'll just remind you of that. But Simon, thanks very much. Okay.
Thank you, Chair, and thank you for this opportunity to present the Transport NI Southern Division yearly morning down interim report for 16-17, which is an update on the annual report presented to council in the spring of this year. As the Chair has introduced, I'm accompanied tonight by Cindy Noble and Stephen Duffy, both section engineers, maintenance section engineers. I hope you all have received a copy of the interim report, which gives the update position on our planned work for this financial year. For ease of reference, we have retained the information provided in the spring report in black text and the associated update provided alongside in red. In my presentation tonight, I would like to dive straight into the report and expand on the updates for some schemes across the district. On page 7, under strategic road improvements, we refer to the Belnahinch bypass. A significant amount of work has been completed and a public inquiry was held in January this year. The inspector's report of the inquiry was received in March, and the project development team has considered the report and recommendations and are currently finalising a report for the Minister's consideration. Subject to a satisfactory outcome, the department will publish the environmental statement notice of intention to proceed and make the direction order for the proposed scheme. The making of the vesting order for the scheme will be delayed to align with the construction programme for the bypass. The next stage would then involve preparing the economic appraisal report, or the business case, and taking the scheme through the procurement process. Balnahinch Bypass is not one of the department's flagship projects, and its progression to procurement and subsequent construction will be dependent on the approval of the business case, clearing the statutory procedures, and funding being made available to the department. On page 8 then, we refer to the Newry Southern Relief Road. The current development work involves progressing the Stage 1 Preliminary Options Assessment, which will identify the best performing options to take forward for further development and subsequent identification of a preferred option. As a result of the ongoing design development process, feedback through the consultation process, an additional corridor has been identified. It is considered necessary to carry out a further consultation to ensure all relevant information relating to this corridor is received. The Stage 1 preliminary options assessment should now be complete in early 2017. Following this, I expect the development work to continue into Stage 2, which will lead to the confirmation of the preferred corridor. Also on page 8 is the Rowallans and Doran's Rock road widening scheme. Ground investigation works and design are now complete, along with the non-statutory environmental assessment. The project is expected to cost in the region of £2 million, although at this time no funding has been allocated for construction. Initial LAMS meetings have taken place with a number of the affected parties, but the project team will be setting up further meetings in the forthcoming months with a view to progressing a vesting order to acquire the land required to construct the scheme. There may be an opportunity to divide the scheme into two or more sections, depending on the funding that may be available. On page 9, under maintenance of structures, I would like to bring you right up to date with the construction of Kilmore Bridge. The new bridge is substantially complete and open to traffic. However, some services work is ongoing, and when this is completed, the final wearing course will be laid, the old bridge will be demolished, and the site will be finished out. This was a difficult construction, particularly in relation to traffic management. And while I accept there were delays, particularly for locals, I think we can all agree that the finished result will provide significant benefits in relation to road safety, traffic progression, and connectivity of services to the village. Also on page 9, I would like to make a correction. The update for the Ballygowan Road Bridge should not be included in this report. As you will all have picked up, it's not in this council area, so apologies for that. I should have picked that up when I proofread it. That's my fault. Apologies. On page 14, we refer to winter maintenance. I can inform you that Transport NI has put in place the normal full winter maintenance service for the forthcoming season. Duty controllers have been on duty every night since the start of October, monitoring the weather forecast and deciding on the need for gridding, while gridder drivers and depot staff have been on standby to react when required. To date, no gridding has been required on the network. However, we are fully prepared for the season ahead. On page 16, we refer to the Rural Road Initiative. This is an initiative implemented by the Minister, Chris Hazard, shortly after he took up office earlier this year. The objective of the initiative is to target the worst sections of rural roads for small-scale resurfacing that may not otherwise receive remedial action when compared to more heavily trafficked roads. As you may remember, when James Kelly presented the annual report to Council in May, he announced that we in Southern Division intended to target some rural roads in the district within the constraints of our initial budget. However, with the Minister securing an additional £10 million for his rural road initiative, this has allowed such work to be undertaken on a much larger scale across a wider geographical area. As you will know, we have inspectors on the roads on a daily basis, so we do have a good handle on which roads are in most need. Accordingly, Cindy and Stephen have developed a list of small-scale resurfacing schemes on rural roads that are in particularly poor condition, which will benefit from this funding. Moving on to network development schemes. On page 26, we refer to schemes at Collins Corner and Fountain Street in Downpatrick, which are part of the Downpatrick Traffic Study. The study identified a number of schemes for progression, including improving the junctions at Collins Corner, road widening and traffic calming on Fountain Street, and the development of park and ride facilities on the north side of the town. You will see from our report that the Collins Corner scheme has been postponed this year due to ground conditions in favour of the Fountain Street widening and traffic calming scheme to improve road safety and traffic flow. Consultation is underway for Fountain Street, and on the successful completion of the legislative process, we would hope to commence on-site in early 2017. Proposals are also being taken forward for the delivery of a park and ride facility on the north side of the town. A potential site located on Belfast Road would improve the current transport facilities and help meet the growing demand for park and ride in Downpatrick. We are at the early planning stages of this project, which will require acquisition of land, funding and planning approval. A proposal has also been taken forward for the extension of the park and ride facility at Clock Roundabout, which is a very well used site. Our proposal will increase the 16 car parking spaces to around 30 spaces. The transportation review in Downpatrick also identified further improvements for the town, including potential one-way schemes. These will require further development and consultation with residents. However, we aim to progress these over the longer term. These include a one-way traffic system for Edward Street, St Dillon's Avenue and John Street. To date, some concerns have been raised by residents on the impact a one-way system in Edward Street will have on surrounding streets. A one-way traffic system from Market Street, Irish Street and St Patrick's Avenue. We have to take into account any one-way system affecting Market Street will be dependent on the provision of the link road, as the larger gyratory system does not deliver regeneration benefits. And then a potential new link road between Irish Street and St Patrick's Avenue through the old PSNI site. This would be seen as a regeneration or redevelopment opportunity with the link road included, and Transport NI is working with the Department of Communities and the Council on moving this proposal forward. I'm also pleased to advise that Transport NI is working with Council and the Department of Communities on the development of an environmental improvement scheme for Irish Street in Downpatrick following the removal of the blast wall by PSNI. The works are now substantially complete, with the new road realignment being provided over the past weekend. Although not directly linked to the Downpatrick traffic study, I would like to bring you up to date with a recent announcement by the Minister on the Downpatrick Eastern Distributor Road. In August, the Minister said many local residents and businesses have long called for an eastern bypass or distributor road to be given serious consideration. He said he has taken the decision to initiate a feasibility study of the scheme, which will assist the Department in discussions with key stakeholders on the possibility of providing this road in the future. As you know, the Patrick Eastern Distributor is a development-led proposal in the Ards Down Area Plan 2015, depending on the structured development of zoned lands as detailed in the area plan and approvals through the various planning processes. The feasibility study will re-examine the viability and deliverability of the proposed link road, including an assessment of existing and future traffic issues in the area, based on current traffic patterns and projected developments. This work will also assess the potential benefits and impacts of the Eastern Division, Eastern Distributor Road, taking account of the findings of the recent Downpatrick transportation study. This work is currently at a very early stage, and we are commissioning consultants to complete this work. On a separate issue in Downpatrick, some councillors will be aware of the unrest in the Flying Horse area of Downpatrick, in particular over the last few months. Following consultation with local elected representatives, PSNI and community groups, Transport NI has had to remove the crossing facilities on Tullock Road. Transport NI has a duty of care for pedestrians and motorists using this facility, and the damage caused on a nightly basis has made this site untenable. Since June 2016, almost £30,000 has been spent making repairs to this site. Moving on, in relation to the Strangford Ferry, you can see the very latest update on the delivery of the new ferry on page 39. The ferry was formally handed over to the department on the 11th of October, and there will be a period of intensive training for crews before it goes into service in late November. The new ferry and the existing MV Porter Ferry 2 will be used in rotation on a regular basis. And finally, in relation to street lighting, I would emphasise that Transport NI only has records of defective street lights that are reported to us by members of the public and elected representatives like yourselves. I would therefore encourage anyone to report defective street lights, and the best way to do that is to use the web page link detailed on page 40 using the reference number painted on the column of the light. However, reports can also be made by phone, also detailed on page 40, again quoting the light reference number. Sure, that concludes the Transport NI presentation on our interim report, and I'm obviously happy to take any questions.
Thank you very much, Simon. Just to remind members, I have two councillors wanting in. I'll maybe take two councillors at a time. But first of all, if I could just ask you to keep your questions more to general, strategic type questions and not DEA specific, just at this moment in time. I will let you in again for your DEA specific questions. So, Councillor Burgess, first of all. Yeah. If you wish. Okay,
thank you, Chair. Folks, it's good to see you here this evening, and it's good news to hear that the A7 is at least still on the sheet and coming forward slowly. but very disappointed we still haven't got a start date for it, where it's a very much needed upgrade on that A7 between Dundrock and Saintfield. But is it possible when you are doing this road that you put in some sort of slow lane or a pulling in or an overtaking lane where slow moving traffic can pull in off the road for a couple of minutes to let the traffic away? Because you upgraded between Crossgar and Downpatrick and you put a high curb now, the farming community can't even pull off the road to let the traffic by them. It was a good enough job putting in all the drainage and that. It seems to be working quite well. But like, there's no room there now between Crossgar and Downpatrick to pull off the road anywhere. They allow the agricultural trailers and that to get off the road. And it's good to hear that Bull and Hedge bypass is coming along. And we look forward to it being done. So have we got a start date for that?
Okay, is that all your questions, Councillor? Yeah, okay. Councillor Arnold.
I'm not sure what Robert was listening to when he said it was good to hear the Balnage bypass. For once again, it looks as if the Balnage bypass is the can has been kicked down the road. This scheme is critical in so many fronts. The future development of Balnage Town Centre, the development of the Mourns and Newcastle as a premier tourist destination, and the thousands of people who travel through Balnahinch on a daily basis to get to their workplace in Belfast and beyond. The figures for Balnahinch are similar to that of Macrofeld, which was just recently opened. And to hear Minister Hazard's response to questions in Stormont recently has been very disappointing. I wrote to him 4 weeks ago, and yet I have to get a reply asking how the scheme can become a flagship scheme for us departments. And maybe you could answer that question for us today. Thank you.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
Thank you. On the S7, thank you for your comments on that scheme. The design currently at the moment does not provide for slow lanes along that section from Dorinsrock down into Saintfield. Obviously, the provision of slow lanes would increase our land take and significantly increase the cost of the scheme. So currently at this moment in time, the design as it sits does not include that. We don't have funding for the scheme, so we cannot go to vesting for the land until we know we have costs for construction. We can't commit to buy the land if we don't know we have the construction costs. So that's where we sit with that scheme. In relation to Balnahinch, as I said, we had the inspector's report, the public inquiry in January. We had the inspector's report subsequently after that. We are in the final stages of completing a submission to the minister for his consideration in how he wants to take forward the Balnahinch bypass, and that submission will be going to the minister very soon. And then I would expect he will respond to that accordingly. In relation to flagship projects, there are only four departmental flagship projects, which is the FIBA6, Belfast Rapid Transit, and the Transport Hub in Belfast. The Balnahinch bypass is not one of those flagship schemes.
Yep, certainly. Take two more councillors. Sorry, I said two councillors at a time, but if you speak and then obviously I've let someone else in,
you will be, Councillor. But we'll carry on as best we can. So, Councillor Hardy.
Thank you, Chair, and I won't go into the DEA stuff. I'll leave that till I'm called. Just the £10 million on the rural roads. Like, our rural roads is in a terrible state. There's some of them, you know, if there's not something done with some of them, they will end up closed. And how much of that money do we think we can draw down, and have we projects ready to go? Are we biting at that money constant?
Councillor Enright.
This may make a pleasant change. I know for years I've been talking to the road service and slamming them for their total inactivity and inattention to the Downpatrick area. It's amazing what the arrival of a local minister can do. I must say I'm exceptionally delighted that they were now got a feasibility study after, 25 years into the Eastern Distributor Road? Something that could transform Downpatrick as a town. I mean, Downpatrick in the last area plan was slated to grow to twice its current size, but none of that was possible without the distributor road. We've got a sewage system built for 25,000 people equivalents, and we've only got 11,000 people in the town. This could be fundamentally important for not only for the Downpatrick area, but also for our council, because we previously computed in the old council that this could raise anything between £7 and £11 million a year in additional rates were the development land worked out and fully developed in line with the size of the sewage system. And that's a very substantial amount of money for a council of our size. So this is an extremely exciting development. And I would ask you that when you're doing this feasibility study to look at the powers the new council has and how we now have obviously a much closer relationship with planning. And clearly, in our new powers, we can create a special purpose vehicle. It's within our powers now, the power of competence, to levy developers if we so wish to support a plan if it was brought forward by the road service to do so. So I very much praise the Minister for this initiative. And I would say also that this is the first time you've ever come clean on the fact that the long one-way system around Collins' Corner is actually impractical. And you're now talking in serious terms about the Irish Street the St. Patrick Street connection, and realizing, of course, the enormous potential it has for urban renewal for the whole Downpatrick area. So I must say, I actually don't believe I'm attending this meeting saying these words. For the first time, I've actually had a complimentary word to say to you for the last 10 years. And I just say, since you brought it up, and Naomi's not here, she did raise the point earlier that if you put the traffic lights in Ballymote in the right place, and she's absolutely correct, opposite the shops, none of these problems would be occurring. You've simply got it in the wrong place, and if you'd listened to Naomi and the rest of the councillors from our area, you wouldn't have a problem. I myself was down there several nights there the week before last, photographing these individuals. I reported them to the police and to the housing executive. House visits followed. The housing executive called round to these people's houses and gave them warnings. Some of them were on their last chance in terms of their houses. And I would say that we've done our bit locally with the police, with the fire service, to try and tackle this issue. You need to listen to Naomi and move the traffic lights to where they need to be. Thank you.
In relation to the rural road initiative, yes, out of the £10 million, this council area has been allocated £1.4 million, and Cindy and Stephen have extensive lists, which we are working through at this moment in time, and those will be completed out. So it's well underway, and it's very, very welcome. In relation to Councillor Enright's comments, thank you very much. I appreciate the positive feedback, and we will continue to progress our development work with the Downpatrick traffic study and with the short term, the medium term, and the long term goals. So we thank you for that. And the issue with the pedestrian crossing will be kept under review.
Thank you. Two councillors, Councillors Hannah and then Councillor Riley.
Thank you, Chair. Just on a slightly different issue, on the gritting and salting of the roads, could you just a few questions here. How much salt or grit have you stockpiled? I know what it last. Is it yourselves or the council's responsible for gritting? I think it's the council's responsible for gritting the footpaths and salting the footpaths. Oh, it's roads, right? Well, put it this way, have you all the belts as well prepared, hopefully for not a bad winter? And with us in the Mourns area in particular, and we have a large council area, have you purchased any new equipment or anything like that there that could keep the Mourne Mountains open and keep, so we're not isolated, we can escape out the odd time? Thanks.
Councillor Reilly.
Yeah, Chairman, just on the strategic aspect, the A2, and something that myself and Councillor Quinn have mentioned many times, we're trying to get the A2 upgraded to trunk road status. You know, because once you get to the Mourne Observer roundabout, Newcastle till the fire station and Mourne Point is downgraded. But and obviously we would see an upgrading of that road from Newcastle up to Kilkeel as something that's really needed in terms of the economy or whatever. In the Newcastle, whenever people get to Newcastle, especially in the summer months or at Easter or whatever, they get to Newcastle and they forget that there's another 20 miles of road on the other side of that to get to Cranfield. And, you know, many people have suggested over the years, would it be possible to put the Shimley Road back into two-way traffic as a bypass for Newcastle? Because, honestly, you can sit in Newcastle for half an hour at certain times of the year, even when the traffic's at its lightest, it's still with vehicles offloading, whatever, because people just forget that, you know, people are transiting through to get to Kilkeel on alone. And I would like to see something done with that if we could. Many business people will say that they avoid Newcastle now, come in over the back of the mountains. But as Councillor Hannah's pointed out, in the winter time, those roads are very, very dangerous, very restricted. So I would like you to look at that, Chairman. And that Mill Road Bridge, at one time,
Councillor, could you keep your question? The
right,
DA
sorry,
question.
In relation to winter service and the gridding, we've stockpiled in the region of 90,000 tonnes wouldn't do it too long, 90,000 tonnes, those are in our salt barns. We also have the potential for a stockpile which is being housed at the suppliers as well, so we always have potential for that. In relation to footways, we have the Memorandum of Understanding with the Council and that we can work together to grip the footways if required. So that's in place. In relation to new equipment, actually we have four new snowblowers, one per division. So we will have that tool at our disposal for use everywhere, but also obviously in the Mourns if required. Councillor Reilly, then, in relation to note the points you're making in relation to Newcastle and the ongoing issues there, I do recognise that at certain times it can be difficult to get through. The two-way issue on Shimley Road, I would need to give that some consideration. Obviously, when you change from one-way to two-way, the modelling situation and things like that, I would really need to give that some consideration. I think that was it.
Okay, thank you. I just want to bring Liam in here for some comments.
I was going to pick up it, Chairman. We've got it, I think, based on your notice of motion back in June, Councillor Reilly, we wrote to the Minister to ask for a meeting to discuss the A2, the upgrading of the A2 road. We've now got a response back from the Minister on it, and we're something's going to bring the party reps there and have another round to it, but I suppose to try and deal with it now. We're looking for four or five of a delegation to go to meet the Minister on the 30th of December. So we said five, if we could get representatives from the Crossleaf, Mourns area, across party representation, maybe if members could come back to me on that there, if members are happy enough with that. Okay.
Members, just leave it to
you. I would speak to each of the party left to get representatives from the Crossleaf and Mourns DAs.
Okay. Councillor Quinn, you think you're the only one who wants to ask another general question, so go ahead.
Yes, I'm still dealing with general questions, but with regard to what Liam just, a bit of information he gave us, could I request that there was two gentlemen involved in at the time that this road was originally planned. One of them was a Mr. Sir Lee Stevenson. I'm not sure of the name of the other gentleman, that we could maybe meet with them to find out what their opinions of what information they would still have on this road. Because from my research, in the two road service officers, they have no record of any of those drawings dating back from that time or any of the plans. These men may still retain some of that information. That's covered one of my points about the Coast Road. The other thing I was wondering, perhaps the members from the road service could help us as a council. Is there anything we can do to help with the share of the budget that the Southern Road Trust gets? Because in my opinion, we have much more or much higher number of linear miles of rural roads to be covered. And going back decades, I don't think this part of Northern Ireland has been getting a fair slice of the budget to meet the demands and needs of all of those miles of rural roads. Thank you.
Chairman, just in terms of reference again, I don't know whether Simon or Transport and I colleagues know of the people referred to, but I could suggest is I think that this is a meeting with the ministers requested with councillors. I think we've got to keep it to councillors again. Contented members want to meet with them themselves and bring forward stuff, but I think we need to deal with it as a delegation going to the minister.
Well, sorry, just supplementary that. I think it would be good for us as councillors to meet these gentlemen because they have got a lot of information that perhaps we should have when going to meet the minister.
I didn't recognise the person that you first gave the name to, Stevenson. I don't know that person. I'll certainly make inquiries, and if there's any further information you can bring to me later on.
He was the owner of Castle Nevin Quarries.
Sorry?
He was the owner of Castle Nevin Quarries. Okay. Certainly Stevenson Concrete Batch and Plant.
Okay.
He had big connections with council and road service at that time.
In relation to the allocation for the rural road network, for all of the roads across this division, the money is allocated basically on the length of road network that we have in each division, so it is proportioned out in that manner. That's given to me then to apportion out across the three council areas that I manage, and again that is done on a similar assessment whereby the length of road and other key criteria are used, but primarily the length of road that we have to cover. So I'm satisfied that me as divisional manager for Southern Division is getting a fair crack of the whip in relation to the money. And I hope these two people beside me are happy that I'm giving them a fair crack of the whip and whenever I divvy it out from Southern Division. So it is done quite specifically, and it's done on road length, primarily on road length. Although there are other factors as well.
Okay, councillors, just now going to take the DEA specific questions, and I have them in alphabetical order. And the first DEA is crop leave. So any councillors want to ask any specific questions regarding crop leave?
Nope.
No. Okay. Oh, sir.
No specific question. Just to say that, as probably with all councillors, is the lack of the length of time it takes to fix street lights. I know you said earlier on that they can go online and record them, but it's pointless. You know, you go out each night now, the nights are getting darker, the street lights are all over the place. It hasn't improved much, if any, over the summer months. I don't think you've taken the opportunity to get out and fix them. Regarding the state of the roads, they haven't improved to anything that I can see. And it's backwards we went. So just a comment.
Okay, Simon, do you want to ask? Oh, that's okay. If no other questions, now I know councillors have had an opportunity this afternoon to bring particular points to Simon and his team, but we'll move on to Downpatrick, DEA.
Just one question I forgot to ask you this afternoon, because we had a very long detailed meeting today with Simon and Mr. Duffy. And I must say, in relation to the Irish Street car park and all, there was a lot of details given to us then, and I thank you for all that information that was given into us. Just on the page 15, it's the resurfacing. And I noticed down there that the Hourglass Road down Patrick, in relation to that. Now, on the Hourglass Road St. Patrick. You have done a magnificent scheme out there earlier on this year, and I want to thank you for that here as well. But just in relation to this, is this an additional piece of road that's going to be resurfaced here?
No, that is the scheme to which you refer. It was additional from. It wasn't in the initial report. Whenever we presented it in spring, we were able to add it on once after the spring meeting was held. So it was additional from the first meeting, but it is the completed scheme that you refer to.
Okay. Any other Downpatrick councillors? We'll move on to Newry DVA. Yeah, Gary.
Yeah.
Councillor Stokes.
Sure. Just it's something that cropped up recently relating to street lighting. As you know, Chair, Newry is building a valley, and we tend a lot of the pedestrian footways carry up and down steep sets of steps. Now, where the lights are out, that's obviously more dangerous than normal if it's flat. Is there any way that priority be given where there are lights out, that they do fix the ones on those steep steps first? Because it is quite dangerous if you're coming along, it's pitch black, and down a steep set of steps. I mean, there's a serious chance of doing an injury. So if those could be priorities, it would be very, very useful, very beneficial. Thank you.
In relation to the prioritisation of streetlights, we do that, and the number one priority is where there's an electrical safety issue. There's a chance of danger to the public. We then go down to group outages, where there was a series of group outages, and then we get down into the single outages, which we try and that's our general prioritisation list. The straight answer to your question is no, we do not. We do not look at steepness or steps in relation to that. Looking at it and trying to think about an answer to your question and trying to be as realistic as I can, we are moving about more randomly than we would have done in the past because we're reacting to the street lights that are being referred to us. And I think to try and prioritise it further to include the steps may be a step too far for us. I wasn't being flippant about it in any shape or form. But I would certainly need to sit down with my street lighting engineers and go through our work planning procedures to see if that is a possibility that we can do. I certainly note your point. It's not what we do at the moment, but it's a reasonable request and we will look at it, but that's what we do at the moment.
Okay. Roland, DA. Councillor Walker.
Sure, thank you very much. And it's more I want to, first of all, say I actually think tonight the format of this meeting has been good. The reason being, we've had a chance to meet with senior officials prior to the meeting. A lot of us had a lot of questions for yourselves, Nat. And I think that's the way forward, rather than debating it across the chamber and everybody trying to get in. We're all getting our say, getting into the private meetings and the individual meetings, and I think that should continue for every meeting when you do come to the stand to council. And only issue of, I'm going to raise it and welcome it, the fact that we had spoke about the pedestrian crossing in Killarney, that yourselves is going to look into that again and do another survey in relation to it, because there was an accident out there a number of weeks ago, but I want to thank you for that. And also, just to finish, I want to pay tribute to your staff at Seaford. Any time I've phoned up, you've been very, very helpful. Particularly, I have to single them out again, Hugh Morgan. If I phone up, he'll come into Ballinahinch, meet me. We'll go to Killarney. We'll go to Saintfield, and we'll go to Crossgar to deal with the issues and that there. And that means a lot. Rather than communicating through letter, we can go out on site, and Hugh's only too willing to do that there. And that's why I think we've got a good working relationship in this area anyway, and I can't say nothing about it. So I want to thank you as an elected representative for the Rowan area.
Thank you, Councillor Walker. Councillor Andrews.
Thanks very much, Chair. Again, Rowan, I'd like to take this opportunity again. I had a meeting today with the Road Service. I must say, they probably thought it was going to have bed and breakfast organised for them. There's a list as long as my arm, but again, a lot of issues were taken on board at that pre-meeting, which I think is a useful exercise. Also, you know, again, thanks for the report, but, you know, whenever you, I just flagged up my mind on the flagship project, Simon, you know, just disappointed that this part of the country is not included in the lineup of such schemes. You know, everywhere else seems to get them, but whenever we look at the A7, which is one of the main arterial routes that runs from the Belfast, you know, from Carrigaff to down Patrick, and with the bypass of Ballinahinch and all, and the roadways get into the Mourns and all, you know, the major arterial routes, and I think the Dorns Rock, and, you know, as I say, hopefully that maybe that can be flagged up in the not too distant future, because I think we seem to be the poor relation compared to everywhere else, but again, it's not detrimental to the hard work that they do in road service, but also in relation to the likes of Downpatrick and all, you know, I think what's turning people off is traffic is the stranglehold in the town, and any moves that can be done to improve traffic movement, again, would be very much welcome. But again, as I said, it's a very good report. A lot of hard work has gone into it, but in relation to Kilmore Bridge, as I say, it's an issue we've campaigned on, and it's good to see the new structure in place and all been well, taking on board the restraints, temporary restraints at the moment. I look forward to its completion, but to all concerned, the road service, and more so to see Ford, a job well done, and thank you.
Okay, thanks, Councillor Andrews. I'm not sure if there's a question there or not.
No.
Okay, Councillor Burgess, yeah. Well, also, Chair, as previous two speakers would agree with all they said there, and this is an excellent format of the meeting. I haven't had many meetings here, but I think the way this has been run tonight is an excellent way forward. Like Councillor Andrews, I had a little list for you there earlier in the day. But I'm going to add to it now because I forgot to mention the end of Windmill Road, Cumber Street, the Ballygown Road. The water still runs from the opposite side of the road out of the hills there and floods that whole part of Windmill Road. That drain never ever worked, and is it not possible to do something with it before the winter time? Because the other day when the heavy rain came, it was just running out of the hill, bypassing all the gratings because of the nature of the road. Maybe you would take a look at that first. Thanks, Chair.
Okay, we noted that, Robert. Yeah. Okay, move on to Sleeve Crib. Councillor Marnon.
Yeah, thank you. Just a couple of things. The Edendarf Road, it's good to hear that they are working in conjunction with Phoenix and holding back the resurfacing there to the pipeline is put in. I think the Castlewellan Road, were they also going to dig that up, and it's due for resurfacing maybe next year, or sorry, it's due for resurfacing and their Phoenix aren't due to be on it next year. Just whether you have made any progress with that with Phoenix, and also welcome the new pavement at the Newcastle Road of Drummondess. That's going to be a well used piece of pavement once it's completed. And I know it's not in my area, but it's something that's close to my heart. Ballinahinch Public Realm. There was a new electric supply put into the bus shelter in Winmo Street in Ballinahinch last weekend. Which has meant that they've dug about maybe 10 metres off the street. They're now telling us that there is no more pavement left to repair that. It's my understanding that there was quite an amount of extra pavement had to be purchased to allow for these things. And from what I have seen, there's been very little work done around the town. In fact, NI Water put a new meter into Pose Butchers around the same time. They dug it one day, they reinstated it the next day. You would never have known they were there. I've had complaints from a trader with regard to the fact that they're not going to repair it, and the top dressing that they've put on has now sunk, and it mightn't be the level would you consider a trip hazard for elderly people, you know, a 10 to 15 mil drop is sufficient for them to trip on. That's me. Thank you.
Okay. Points, sir. Yeah.
In relation to the public realm scheme, you're right. I mean, the part of the contract is that there will be a stock of material to be reused by whichever utility, it could be ourselves, could be water. So that should be available. I need to check with our friends and council just to where it's stocked. We think it may be in the council. We'll need to check that out. But yes, I mean, the material should, I mean, with a scheme so recent as Ballinahinch, I mean, the material has to be available. And this is an issue across all public realm sites, across all towns, whereby that reinstatement should be done properly, not with blacktop material. It should be done with the granite. And we are working with utilities to make sure that where we hold the stock for those, that we release that in a timely fashion so that the utilities can actually get access to it. So,
it is my understanding that you have the stock. I've already asked the question, and that's the response that came back. I see Stephen shaking his head there.
I'm getting a shaking head from over this side, so we work that one out and we'll come back to you with exactly where it is. But I mean, the material should be there and should be available for use. We're not stopping utilities from getting it because we want it used for the right purposes.
Yeah, I understand that. Okay, the Castle Elm Road one just.
We're working with Phoenix Natural Gas, and we were hoping to get them in sooner to Eden Dark Road so we can come in, but that's not working out. We hope to get them in early next year. And you're right, they are going to the Castle Well, and we will hold back any or program any surfacing around that because we don't want to surface excavate it shortly after we completed it. But we are working with Phoenix Natural Gas on their pipe network, not only in the Castle Well direction, but also out through Kilmore to Cross Gar and out to, down to Downpatrick. So they have given us our programme, and we will be looking at our resurfacing programme in the light of that in light of their plans.
Thank you.
Yeah, and just on the Steve Crew, just to welcome the resurfacing work there as it's done the Spa Road, and also very recently the footpaths leading up to Hillside Estate. That's good work and I appreciate it. But Stephen, I'll give you some information there so you no doubt attend to that in due course. Steve Gullion. We're calling it the morn, so so we're still alphabetically. Councillor Hardy.
Thank you, Chair. I was afraid we were going to be last again. No, just I do want to, as done before here, register our disappointment with the junction of Creamy Road and the Newry Road, the Tonnin in Bay. I done at the previous meeting here. I was saying there was the one scheme that the councillors of that DEA pushed for, and it's the one scheme that was withdrawn and pushed back down the line. So just I want to, in the minutes of this meeting, to register my disappointment with that. Also, at that previous meeting, I asked about for someone to take a look at the bridge on Larkins Road. There was complaints there from, and I see the bridges that is not mentioned in this now. It may be that it was inspected and didn't require work, but it's not listed at all. And just in the all we ever got within the Sligullion DEA was surface dressing. I've never seen less roads from the Sligullion DEA for surface dressing. This is the shortest list we ever had presented before us for surface dressing, and that's disappointing. Seeing the effort the minister put in to bring that injunction of 1.4 million into rural roads, and that, along with the budget we have, and it just doesn't seem to be coming towards the Sligullion area at all. So I say it's very disappointing, and I say the shortest list we ever had, and the only thing we received was surface dressing. So I'm actually have to say. I know I don't want to be that person out here tonight, but I have to say I'm very disappointed with this report for the people that I represent. It's a very disappointing report for them, and I'm going to try and maybe publish some of this and let them decide. But for the area I represent, this is the most disappointing report I've ever put in front of us.
Councillor McGoy.
Thanks, Chair. Yeah, well, obviously we all met with you before, so I'm not going to go through my list again, but what I would like to say is that it is vitally important that we do look at the roads that we discussed earlier regarding the gritting during the winter months, because the reality of it is because our roads aren't treated, lots of our country schools, if there's a drop of snow, they have to close. Now, that causes massive inconvenience, not only, you know, to the children and their families, and that has a knock-on effect then for people going to work, etc. So, again, I would just ask is, if wherever possible, please, you know, go that extra mile to try and keep our country roads open and the schools open during the winter months, and keep an eye on the vegetation. There are a few gullies, Cindy, this is the one thing I didn't say to you, on the Tullyah Road that do need cleaned out, and that in itself would add a lot of surface water, which during the winter times would create a lot. But I think just try to keep the countryside open. I think it's vitally important.
Okay, I'll take you, Councillor.
All right, yeah, just a couple of brief ones. Yeah. Cindy, thanks for your help, Ian, during the last year. A couple of questions. Just, I see the Lock Road down on the list of things for the autumn, just to see, was that near happening? The Coach Road has been sprayed and chipped. I just want to know, was that a finished job? Is that it finished? Is that it done? Or is there going to be any sort of surface, any further surface dressing? Dungormley Estate, I had spoken to you about before. Cindy, there's a push on in Dungormley to try and get it tidied up, and we know the housing executive, they're going to do up the housing out there, but there's a section of road at the back of the houses that's under severe disrepair, and just to make sure that it's still on the list. And then just like Roisin, there's a couple of schools. There's a school in Carrigavaddy and a school in Ballymire that when there's frost and snow on that, in Ballymire in particular, I spoke to you before about the gritter comes from White Cross and turns, so that anyone who travels from the Newtown Road to Ballymire, they phone me and I end up phoning you about it. So look, if there's anything we can do about that, that's me. Thanks.
Okay, Councillor Larkin. Yeah.
Thanks very much, Chair. I'd just like to thank Cindy and their staff for the work that they've done throughout the year. It's much appreciated that they were under severe pressure last year, and that they have done their utmost in the last number of months to catch up with the work that was left. In relation to my own area, the Eden Apple Road in Jonesborough that is being resurfaced, is the intention to put the ramps back in there? When the ramps are put back in there, will there be the painted arrows put on them to indicate that there is a bump in the road as such? Well, when you're doing that, is there any chance of getting over the 4 kill to get those done? Because it's totally wore off. And it is a hazard. that's very kind. Yeah, thanks very much. As I say, I'm very grateful for yourself to the work that yourself and your staff has done, especially Paul Kelly in the area. He's won over a lot of pensioners in the Jonesborough County Forestall area, so thanks very much for that, and let him know that I mentioned him in the report. One thing I just want to ask is in relation to street lights. There's a couple of lights on the Mafona Road in Mullaban, close to O'Hanlon's Pub, and I've reported them a number of times as being out. Now, I'm not saying that they haven't been fixed on those occasions when they were reported, but I was there on Friday evening and they're out again, and one of them's full of water, so I don't know, maybe perhaps the units need to be replaced, but there's no footpath at this location, and there's a lot of people, it's in the centre of the village, a lot of people do use it, and young people especially going to the shop, and older people going to the pub, over 18s of course, but it is very dangerous. There's a lot of trees there, and it's pitch black. You're in a dip, you can't be seen if those two lights are out constantly. Yeah. And another issue with street lights was Park Ernie in Forkill. Park Ernie is a new estate there on the school road. I've reported on a number of occasions an issue with the lights there. There seems to be ongoing problems with two different circuits in the estate, and regularly, if not all the time, there's one of the circuits, one or other is off. For some reason, I'm not sure. At the time, last time I reported, I was told there was an issue with the contractor. I don't know if he's adopted that or not. And there's one, I don't want to seem to be annexing part of Newry, but somebody in the Newry area did raise an issue with me in relation to the Twelmore Road. I was just wondering if there had been any traffic service done on the Twelmore Road in the last few years, the last 10 years since the
the dual carriageway A1 had opened up. It's used to a great extent by people accessing from south down onto the A1, going north and south, and in the winter it's a death trap because it is a rural road. But I'd like to know, would it be possible to find out the usage on that road to see if there would be a possibility of it being gritted in the future. Also, I do know a number of the councillors in the area do use it to get to Downpatrick, and we'd hate to lose any of them along that stretch. So could you come back to me in relation to that? That's great. Listen, thanks very much for all your help over the last year.
Yeah, thank you, councillor, for those favourable comments, and hopefully do you want to address some of those points there?
Just come back on some of those issues. Councillor Hardy, sorry that you're disappointed in the extent of the surface dressing. I mean, I've spoken to Cindy and we don't think there's a shorter list there. But just to be clear, the additional money that we got for the rural road network is not on surface dressing. It's in small-scale resurfacing. The surface dressing programme was set before the Minister got us the additional money, so that's additional work. We haven't listed the schemes that we've done, but we will be giving a list of all the schemes that we're doing under the rural road net. Yes, absolutely. Yes, and so you'll be able to identify what's in your area, and hopefully that will be better news. Yeah. So that just in relation to gritting and winter service, I mean, I think the big news here is that we've been able to actually maintain the full service that we provided in years gone by. That with the resource pressures that we are under, that it's not actually being reduced. But obviously, we will look at any reasonable requests for other locations, and we take the schools into consideration that you've mentioned. I mean, we have a rural schools list whereby after the primary gritting is done, then we go back and we try and do the rural schools network. So I think the schools, Cindy's informing me that the schools you mentioned are all on that list. So after the initial gritting is done, then we go out and do the schools. So there is the possibility to do it that way. Cindy has noted the streetlights that were raised there, and then also Turmore Road. We'll look at that from a gritting perspective. I'm sorry if I've missed anything on that. Happy to come back.
Okay, councillors there from Steve Gullion. Okay. Now, last but not least, the Mourns. Councillor Riley.
Yeah, thank you, Chairman. I mentioned the Mill Road, Mr. Richardson and Cindy. And at one stage, we were negotiating with Road Service that they would do an alternative traffic, you know, like a chicane thing, and put the bridge along one side. And then we were told that there was going to be funding in the system that would do that, and then the alternative went off. Obviously, if there's no money in the system, I would like that chicane thing looked at again, because it's so dangerous. And the traffic, the speed there is it was meant to be a low cost system, you know, alternative to doing that. Salting the Cargany Road, if it is at all possible, I know it's on as not a primary salting road, but the secondary one. So if you get everywhere else done and there's salt available, you as well do that. But I would like it put on up until the Brackney West Primary School, because it's such a busy primary school now. It's one of the biggest schools in the district now. And the number of cars, and because it's rural and a very, very poor rural bus service, it needs to be kept open for people to drop off and pick up. And it is very, very, because it's so high up in the mountains, it does get very frosty there. And if it was possible to look at that as a primary salting route, a Mill Road Bridge, I mentioned that. The S Belga, Cindy, S Belga. There's still people saying to me, look, frosty morning's coming. Last year there were 5 or 6 cars went over the S. Is it possible to get a crash barrier or something put in place there that will stop cars going over? The back road on along is part of the rural resurfacing. It's not a heavily used road. You know, there's not that many houses on it, but because there's dairy herds on it, the cow flap on the road lifts the tarmac, and it hasn't been done for years and years. It would need a wee bit of asphalt, and that would resist the cows. The Leitrim Road, Kilkeel, Sunday, now you have done some work on it. but the people up there, they're saying, could we not get that 50 or 60 metres of the road that has subsided, you know, sunk away down in? Because there's two tracks, and there's a bit in the middle. And the cars go down the tracks, and the exhaust systems and all scrape on it. So that wee bit needs done. It's not that big of an area. Footpaths, along the main road, along the A2, any bits and pieces between Newcastle and Annalong, if they could be spaded back or cut back, if there's some machine that could cut those back as far in as possible, because there's bits there now you've only got maybe 18 inches to walk on, whereas you could have maybe 3 or 4 feet, you know. So if you could take a look at that, Cindy. That's basically it, apart from the stuff we discussed today. But thank you very much, and I would like to thank Cindy for the work she's doing. I can see a big improvement in our area, over, and I'm sure it's just down to finance, you know, but thanks very much indeed.
Thank you, Councillor. Councillor Hannah.
He's lucky he got away with it.
Chair, just on the format of the meetings, it was very good, so it was, it gave us every opportunity to speak to you and to readdress you. There's one thing I just noticed in your report, and it's only the one issue. Lighting boards, you know, for highlighting schools and that there, you have one in Bally, you're putting new ones in Ballymartin, isn't that right? You know, the flashing lights. What Henry mentioned was lights of Brackney School, possibly Attic Hall there as well. Does the schools have to apply for them themselves, or do you approach them? Just more.
Okay. Councillor Clark.
Thanks, Sharon. I'm not going to go into the DA stuff at all. Most of the stuff was given in the meeting and the pre-meetings. And I welcome that format also. Just to ask, how will that information be fed back? Will it be to the council directly? Is the first point. And just to probably to concur with others, I'd just like to thank the roads officials, maintenance officials and stuff, you know, for their work and cooperation, like all the councillors said as well. The one issue I would like to discuss is a cycling strategy for our council area, working in partnership with the council and looking at working with other landowners, probably through the community plan DEA probably would be the best place to do that type of work. But I'd be interested in your thoughts in regards to that, because I think it's essential that we get more people involved in cycling, particularly young people, get them cycling to school in a safe environment, tackling obesity, but getting people to cycle, and also boosting tourism, because there's a huge interest in cycling at the minute. So I think it's important that we have the infrastructure, at least a strategy to start addressing some of the issues.
Councillor Colley.
Okay, thank you. Thanks for coming along tonight. And I have just a couple of wee things. Ballyhassie Road, Bransford, the gullies and the gratings, there's grass going up, sort of really ongoing issue there. Henry touched on the Espelga as well, and then obviously said about the Brackney West, then the lights. But resurfacing Castlewellan Road, Rathfylla, and certainly about the Cavan Road to Ballynagapic, opposite. Is there any plans at all, maybe for resurfacing of that stretch of road at all? Just that's all that I have at the moment.
Okay, thank you, Councillor. Just go ahead.
Sorry,
Councillor Quinn. Yeah.
Thank you, Chair. I would like to be associated with the rest of the councillors' comments on the very good work that Cindy and John are providing from the Newry office. But also, I would like to be associated with Councillor Riley's remarks. Cindy, if you remember, I did raise the issue of a crash fire on Espelga several years ago. And since then, I've been contacted by many farmers who are drawing trailers with heavy stock and that in them. Down around and up around that corner, and they're very frightened that someone else is going to get killed and all that. Also, just when it was mentioned about school signs, particularly in Moore, I have noticed the signs for most of the rural schools are overgrown by the hedges. I know, strictly speaking, it may be the farmer's responsibility to cut hedges, but particularly around these important warning signs for the safety of children, I think something should be done to make them clear to particularly the drivers of the HGV vehicles that are salvaged here, are not aware of where the schools are located. Thank you.
Okay, thanks, Simon. Go ahead.
There were a large number of issues there. I can just assure you that we've noted them, and the general issues we've noted, and we will come back to you on. In relation to the format, I'm glad that it seems to be well received by everyone, and we're quite happy to continue that that format, Chair. So if that's the way we wish to proceed, then that's excellent. It's good for us. In relation to feedback from the questions that have been raised, that's probably something we're going to have to look at here, because I know for a fact there's been a lot of issues raised this afternoon, and there's been a number of issues raised today. So how we present that back, Chair, we will speak with the officials and see whether we bring them into a DEA format or rather than provide them all together. But we will look at that, feed it back in, and obviously be welcome, or keen to take your comments on whether we present the feedback in the right way. So we'll work with Liam and his team on that basis. I'm not sure that, I mean, as I said, there are a number of issues there which we've all noted. If there's anything you want me specifically to talk about, I'm happy to do so.
In regards to the feedback, I think the proper format should be through the community planning DEAs. I think that information should come back into that format, and then it can be discussed, you know, with a roads official at that meeting. Just in regards to the cycling strategy or developing a cycling strategy for there.
We do have a cycling unit within the department, and they are keen to discuss any proposals that we can extend out of the city. In particular, obviously, there's a lot of schemes around the Belfast area, but they have worked. Our cycling units have come down and worked in division and worked with councils previously. So I think that would probably be the best mechanism for a linkage between the department and the council. I'm happy to make those contacts.
Chairman, maybe I'm conscious that, you know, we're moving into the whole community planning arena, you know, and we have an environment committee, you know, sub-team working group, which looks at sort of all the wider themed areas, and maybe cycling and health and wellbeing tied into that. There might be a project we could look at collectively, because again, you know, in terms of how we can get people off roads and things we want to do in terms of the greenways that we're doing, would tie in very much closely with what you're doing. So probably if you were looking for a community planning project, it might be something that would be worth which would benefit to Transport NI, to the health service, you know, and to the council working together, you know.
Yeah. I mean, community planning obviously is very much on the agenda, as you'll appreciate, Simon. And I mean, obviously, we'd appreciate your full participation in that, especially in the thematic working groups. There's one, environment and spatial development, and obviously, you know, if you can send senior representatives to that, because that'll be important. Because what we're trying to do through community planning is to deliver, you know, services that the people actually need, and that's a good forum for building that up. So I appreciate Simon, your report tonight, and also to Cindy and to Stephen, and for their responses, those open and honest and frank responses. So thank you very much. Okay, good night, everybody.